Let's know the signs. What signs are happening? I'm not going to be talking about the government shutdown, and I'm not going to be talking about what's going on with the Covington High School students in Kentucky, or about Nancy Pelosi's blocking the State of the Union address, which I certainly believe that these are on the doorsteps of civil war. I've never seen a minority leader be so abrasive to any president at all, even when the presidents were Democrats and Republicans and vice versa. And I'm not going to be talking about what's going on in Venezuela either, because several countries, including our own, have recognized a different president, even though there's massive revolution going on today, not only for the former president, but also against the former president. So things are heating up in the world in terms of nation against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. I'm not saying these are not prophetic events. They're part of the larger prophetic events. They're not just news outlets and things like that. Things are happening very quickly. And I believe that the more we see these anarchy, lawlessness, it's part of what we read today in 2 Thessalonians. The Antichrist is going to step on the scene into a very lawless and full of anarchy in the world. There'll be very, very few people that will want law and order. If you ever seen what the Democrats really want and what they have against conservatives or Christians, it's really just another, the spirit of Antichrist promoting lawlessness and attacks. I'm not a Catholic, but I'm not against Catholics. But what they're doing to the Covington High School and the attack by the media and the left against them, it's something that they could do to any church, any Christian, anyone who opposes them. But we're here more than anything to talk about the prophetic events that are descriptive, more descriptive than the Bible, because there's a tremendous, tremendous war looming this very night over Damascus. Let's turn to Isaiah 17 very quickly. Isaiah 17. This, it's been looming and looming, and we've been talking about it and talking about it, and I am not saying that this is happening tonight, that Isaiah 17 is going to be fulfilled tonight, but what I will tell you is that the more these things happen, the more the pressure cooker begins to heat up. You ever had a pressure cooker? All right, okay. I have one. I love it. But what you do? Okay, makes food fast. We're hungry. We got seven mouths at home, so, you know. And I think my mouth is the biggest one. So, you know, we want some food fast. So the pressure cooker is really good. However, it's kind of an interesting thing. When the pressure cooker's on, right, there's these little things that come up, right? These little droplets come up. There's the steam because of the thermal heat. They start spouting off different things. And it hasn't blown up yet. Thank God at our home. But you could see how if you just let the pressure cooker go on forever, it'll just create a massive explosion, a massive thing. And so this is what the pressure cooker is in the Middle East. And every now and then you see this little splats, this little drops, this little steam comes off. And what it is basically insights and hints of the pressure cooker that's inside. It's going to be revealed soon, but you see the steam. These wars and rumors of wars are just simply the hint of what's in the pressure cooker. What's in the pressure cooker? Ultimately, is Armageddon. Ultimately, is Armageddon. But these wars that lead to that, it's quite fascinating. Look at verse 1 of chapter 17. Concerning Damascus, the oracle or the burden, right? The prophets always spoke about this. It was a burden, but it was a burden that God had for the city. And it usually had to do with judgment. Except for a few times where God, through Jeremiah or other prophets, would bring this oracle or a burden for the people of God in a good way. This is not good. Behold, Damascus is about to be removed from being a city. Now, historians, scholars have always wondered about this. Did this ever happen? Damascus is one of the oldest inhabited cities in the world. Even though it's been rebuilt on top of itself many times, it's still the city itself. It hasn't been changed. It hasn't been taken away. So historically and geographically, Damascus is always the same place. This has never happened. Removed from being a city, and it'll become a fallen ruin. The word removed there, Hebrew word for completely desolation, completely almost like vanished. It is the same word that God uses in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis for Sodom and Gomorrah. When Sodom and Gomorrah ceased to exist, God's judgment fell on it. It's the same word here for Isaiah 17 for Damascus. It'll stop from being a city. This past Sunday, as we were here in this church, and we went to fellowship or whatever you guys did. I don't know what you guys did, but we were here. Roy was resting. Praise the Lord, he's back. It's good. Damascus had several things were happening. Iran through Syria was attacking Israel, sending missiles into Israel, into the Golan Heights. I'll show you pictures of it. Within hours, Israel fired back, and fired back in a major way. And it didn't stop until Monday morning. On and on, rocket after rocket into Damascus City, Damascus Airport. This attack by Syria, or Iran through Syria, led to the Israeli defense system to kick in high gear. Now, what's interesting is, for the first time in quite some time, I would say, unless you guys know it of the time, Israel attacked, and then they would say later, through the news outlet and things like that, what they did, and et cetera, et cetera. This time, they just said, we're coming. They attacked, and they made it known they were going to attack. They didn't have any secrets. They didn't report later. They didn't just say, well, you know, we kind of did this last night. No, they said, you fired at us, we're coming after you. And the rhetoric and the pressure cooker in Israel is at an all-time high. In fact, they have made a decision, many people believe, to go into Syria. To go into Syria. Now, the Golan Heights, I wish I would have, did I bring a map? No, I brought a map of Lebanon, sorry. Golan Heights, the border, it's Mount Hermon. Ski resort, actually quite beautiful. And they, right across, it's the Golan Heights, right across is Syria. Damascus is not very far. Israel has made a decision to go in there to uproot the Iranian forces that are in there. Why is this so important? Because Iran and Syria, just a couple of days ago, it would have been Monday, in retaliation of it saying, we're going to attack Israel, we're going to attack Tel Aviv Airport, we're going to attack the major cities of Israel, and things have getting not only heated up in the north, but because of Iranian influence in the south, in Gaza, there's also major altercations in the south of Israel, Gaza, with Hamas, and in the north, with Syria and Hezbollah. So Israel is preparing for the possibility that this battle is going to entrench itself until Iran is completely out of Syria. And I don't think that's going to happen very easily, even if at all. Which means that we are in a cycle, perhaps, of a constant hearing of wars and rumors of war, just like Jesus talked about. But that pressure cooker begins to build. And I don't know. Listen, I've always been very careful about not to be so sensational about things. You know, Jesus coming on Tuesday, you know, that kind of thing. I don't quite say that. What I do tell people is Jesus could open the seals at any time. There's nothing that precludes Jesus from opening the seals, Revelation 5. But he's the only one who can. Putin can, Trump can't, nobody can't. No matter what they say, no matter what threats they make, no matter what Hezbollah says, they will not open the seal. Only Jesus can. So praise the Lord, the one who loves us and cares for us is the one that controls the pressure cooker. He's only going to let it go up to a certain time. Up to a certain point, then he releases the seals. Now, it's not saying that I look forward to that. What I'm saying is he is giving us heads up. He's giving us a heads up to get ready, to build steel into you, to build faith into you, because that's what's going to keep us, right? Not amount of money, it's not the amount of knowledge that you know you have of the world news. It's going to be faith and righteousness. Those will be the greatest things you're going to have. So cultivate them now. Grow in them now. Get into God's word now. It's not just a, you know, sort of a blasé look at scripture. I get this verse, I get that verse. Commit to memory the scriptures. Get into God's word. Get God's word into you. It'll have a tremendous effect in your life. For anything, it'll give you courage and boldness as the Holy Spirit operates through the word of God in your life to go out and have holy boldness, right? Not just boldness, but holy boldness. Be able to stand trials and difficulties and tell people about Jesus at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the disciples did. But that's the boldness that he wants us to have in these days when you see these things happening. Now, when we read today about Thessalonians, right? We read the fact that these events, two events, the apostasy comes first, then the man of sin is revealed, right? Until that time happens, Jesus is not coming. I hate to burst anybody's bubble. However, I do believe Jesus can come for me and for you at any time. It is never to say we shouldn't be ready. I'm not promised tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. I can go see Jesus tonight just as much as you can for any reason. He can call us up. We need to be ready. However, him coming for the church, events need to transpire. And this is what we're talking about today. When you see those two events, the apostasy and the man of sin revealed, you know Jesus can come very, very soon after that. Because it's just time, times and a half time. At some point in doing those 3.5 years, he comes. He actually cuts it short, the Bible says. Unless those days will be shortened, no flesh would survive. Unless Jesus came and took us out of the hands of the Antichrist, he would have complete destruction of the body of Christ. But Christ is not going to let it happen. He's going to come and he's going to remove those who are alive in Christ at that time. Now, I don't know when that is. I pray it's soon. I pray that we are the ones that could see the Lord's return, but I know it's going to be under the pressure cooker. The pressure cooker is going to be there. And I said, well, Pastor, you know, these things, you know, you're scaring everybody. Take a look at this. Believers today, most Christians today are already under that pressure cooker. They are already living in great peril. They are already living, if you have your sheet, in great thalipsis. They are already living under great perizmo, testing. They are already living under that condition. But we know we're not going to get the wrath, the orge, because we've been appointed not to wrath, but unto salvation. But to say that the pressure cooker is not going to get to you and me, it is to say that, well, those Christians who are already going through that, then they're lesser than us because, you know, we're not going through it. So that must be that there's something wrong with them. There may be something wrong with us. And God is protecting us so that because we could probably couldn't handle it. They're going through it. And this is why these events, when you see those two events happening, then we can say, lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Soon after that, is he will cut it short and remove his church and bring the orge, the day of the Lord will begin. Now that's going to be quite an amazing time. But we're living in quite an amazing times. When you have Israel, right, giving an ultimatum to Syria, stop the attack on Israel. And in Syria saying, stop the attack or we're going to bomb Tel Aviv. Then you know you're living through some very difficult times. The Iranian chief, air chief, this is the Iranian Air Force, were ready to a decisive war to destroy Israel. In fact, Israel is so concerned today because they see that Iran is becoming more bold and they're taking risks that have never been taken before. They have never taken this many risks. They know the IDF can hit them back. The Israeli Defense Force can hit them back very quickly. Iran is emboldened because they could attack from the south and from the north. And Israel is testing these, what they call the Arrow 3 and the Iron Dome. These are protective shields of against ballistic missiles. In fact, Iran shot one into the area of Mount Hermon, which is that ski resort. It's a very beautiful resort. They shut down the resort because it's right by the Golan Heights. It's right it's literally right next to us. That's where Jesus had his transfiguration. Just to kind of bring it home a little bit in the gospel. That's where he went up to have his transfiguration. That's where the attacks have been coming from. And the IDF is flying through that area as well as the Israeli, as well as the Iranian forces, because even tonight, Turkey, Iran, and Syria, as well as Iraq, which Iraq is simply, how do I make it? Iraq is almost non-existent, but they're just a puppet of Iran. So those four nations are emboldened against Israel. It's interesting, if you were to look at a map of of the ancient Assyrian Empire, the ancient one that took over the 10 tribes of Israel, the four countries that encompass that empire, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Turkey, those are the same four cities that are coming tonight against Israel in a very real way. Now, behind those four is Russia, of course. And behind the four of them is Russia supplying all the weapons. But it's interesting in the Bible, and the most one of the most beautiful prophecies of Scripture is the birth of Jesus. Micah 5:2, there's a prophecy in Micah 5 about an enemy of God called the Assyrian. The Assyrian, who's coming against the people of God. And it says that baby in Bethlehem, that baby in Micah 5:2 is going to come and destroy that Assyrian, the Assyrian. It's quite interesting, isn't it? We studied that Micah when we did the minor prophets. But that's something, think of Christmas, think of the time that just happened, think of the baby, Bethlehem. But then in that prophecy, there's a great eschatological reminder that that baby, it's the Savior of the world who's going to overcome the enemies of God that come against us. Those four nations again. Now, I studied a little bit of the statistics when I was in college. Just statistics, just kind of like very minor, very surfacey stuff. And the chances of that happening, if you study statistics, that four nations mention the time of Micah, you know, 500-something B.C., that there will be the same nations again in 2019, it's almost impossible to measure, except for the Bible is so right and so prophetically right that it's like 1 in 10 to the third power or something like that. It's just astronomical that that actually be those same four nations again, almost 2,500 years later. The same ones mentioned in Micah, same one mentioned here in 2019, ready to attack the people of God. And yet, we're past the point of the nativity. We're past the point where Jesus has been, he's been born, he's died, he rose again, and he's ready to come back. And even the president of Israel, now this is the president of Israel, not the prime minister. Prime minister is Netanyahu. He's in very hot waters. He might not even make it to the election, by the way, because there's so many charges against him for fraud, embezzlement. He might be out before Trump can even roll out his deal of the century, which I kind of throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing, right? But Israel's going to France, another Antichrist, Macron, Emmanuel Macron. Just think of his name, Emmanuel. Couldn't make it up, right? It's Trump has truth stranger than fiction, right? Emmanuel Macron, God with us, thinks he's the son of Jupiter, thinks he's a son of a god, literally, and takes the throne as a god, who is ready to have a European army come against Russia and against anyone, meets with Israel, and Israel says, would you please intervene? Because Israel is coming, and they have already identified a factory, a Hezbollah, which is the terrorist organization, in Beirut, and we're going after it. Israel is going to bomb this factory, a factory run by Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed terror group, in the capital of Lebanon, and it's urging France to intervene because otherwise this is going to unleash another major war in that area. Now, Hezbollah is in the north. Hamas is in the south. And Hamas, Netanyahu told Hamas today, if you escalate, we're going to take you out of Gaza. Why is Israel so emboldened lately? I don't know. But I know this for sure. In the background is Russia and Turkey. In the background, Erdogan and Putin are meeting today. Well, they already met. I just don't know the outcome. And they are deciding the fate of Syria. Who's going to control it? Who? What's going to be the terms? Who is going to be the new constitution, per se? And Jerusalem is watching this event because out of this will come the elections of Israel, April 9th. Israel is saying, we need to strive for sovereignty. It doesn't matter what happens at the election. We don't want this two-state solutions. Pompeo, Secretary of State, saying, you know, we need to put this into Israeli hands, this peace plan, immediately after the elections. Immediately after the elections. And, of course, Trump and his cabinet, as well as Jared Kushner, it's saying we need to push this before the 2020 race. Because once the 2020 race comes, and I don't even know if it's going to happen, if the impeachment proceedings or the hearings and the documents are going to be drawn against Trump for the impeachment, a lot of things are hanging in the balance. And so they are pushing this peace agreement with the Palestinians, which includes a two-state solution, which Israel doesn't want. Israel doesn't want it. The U.S. wants it. Palestinians kind of want it. But it's going to divide Jerusalem. East and West. Jerusalem in the West will be Israeli. The East will be Palestinian. But even the Israeli sovereignty is controlled by the UN. It's got all these stipulations. It's not even really free. I fear for our country. I really fear for what we're doing biblically against the nation of Israel. I fear because I believe Joel chapter 3 is absolutely right. If you divide my land, God says, he'll deal with you. And we're poking in the eyes of God. We're poking at the apple of his eye. And any nation, yeah, don't. I pray for Trump. I pray for Trump today. Pray for Trump tonight. I pray that God's spirit will lead those men not to do this foolish thing, that they're not driven by ego, pride, or the devil, right? But it just, they want to keep going at this. And it's interesting that rabbis in Israel, because of the attacks, this is what they're saying. Messianic process has begun, they said. The messianic process has begun with the strike in Syria. This will end with the Israeli elections. Rabbi Chaim Kapnisky, one of the most prominent rabbis of this Jewish generation, has proclaimed, and many of his yeshiva, his proteges, are saying that the Messiah will precede the upcoming Israeli elections. Preparations for the Messiah to come. Several rabbis noted that in writing, that the writings on the wall, like Daniel, they said, and the signs that the process leading up to the Messiah has begun. The process. Meaning that these wars, these attacks, these things that are happening, peace agreements, it's all lining up for the Messiah to come after the Israeli elections. It is written that in the days leading up to the Messiah, he says, it'll begin to announce his arrival. But some people, those who have not been prepared for his arrival, will laugh, they said, at the righteous and the learned. These warnings are going to be forbidden to mock the righteous. So Israel's in a frenzy. Now, we talked about this several times. They're in a frenzy regarding the things that are happening with the peace agreements, with the wars and rumors of wars, but the religious Jews are saying, oh, these are just the signs of the Messiah to come. We're going to welcome him. Now, out of chaos and out of lawlessness and out of anarchy, unfortunately, will come one that they wish they never would have made a deal with. Now, major earthquakes throughout the world, I'll leave that up to your further studying of this, but over the last 24 hours, 44 quakes, of the magnitude of 3.0 or above, 16 over 4, 5 over 2, and 2 over 6. There hasn't been any 7s, 8s, or 9s, thank God. But it is shaking throughout the world. I talked to you about last week about the polar caps are moving. The northern polar caps are shifting from Canada toward Siberia. And what's interesting about that is that it's creating this major movement of tectonic plates throughout the world. Now, Jesus spoke about this very, very clearly, about the signs in the world. The signs of the world will be wars and rumors of wars. There will also be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. We live in a very much a earthquake zone. It has not happened, thank God, since quite some time. But it's also something we need to be aware and to be alert, to know these things are happening. To, in a practical level, make sure you have what is needed in your home in case disruption of services happen. It is not to say it's going to happen. It is not to say it's coming tomorrow or anything like that. But it is to say it is shaking, and it is something Jesus said will happen. Now, I'm going to move quickly to another thing, and this is something that's happening in California and Pennsylvania. California and Pennsylvania are telling the federal government that we have a problem under President Trump, his regulations. We need to have more babies might be conceived in California, they said, and born in California, and the state would be forced to pay them. Therefore, we need to have Planned Parenthood step in and not have these babies born because we're broke. Now, this is the same state that says it's going to cost $700 million for unintended pregnancies, but has no problem bringing in thousands, wanting to have thousands of illegal aliens and have sanctuary cities and states. By the way, did Newsom call it a sanctuary state yet? Sorry, what? Did Newsom has already declared a sanctuary state yet or not?
I haven't heard yet.
Okay, not yet. But some cities are sanctuary cities, but they are of the reprobate mind. Can you imagine this? We don't want pregnancies here. We got a problem. Trump is allowing babies to be born in California, and we need to stop that, because if they're born, we're going to have to pay for them. And so the only way to stop this is kill them. Isaiah said something about this, didn't he? Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And boy, we're at that point in our own state, in our own lives. Now, this is not the only state. Pennsylvania is doing the same thing. They sued the federal government as well as New Jersey for says, we don't want babies to be born here. Because if they're born, we have to pay for them. So it's better to abort them. Because, we can't, unintended consequences. People might get pregnant. Girls might get pregnant. Wives got to get pregnant. If they get pregnant, we have to pay for it. So why don't we give us a solution? In Iowa, the state judge declares unconstitutional for Iowa's fetal heartbeat law. What is the fetal heartbeat law? That if you detect a heartbeat, you can't do an abortion. You cannot do an abortion. The state judge says that's unconstitutional. You can't have babies with heartbeat not be aborted. So they banned this law would have banned abortion as early as 6 weeks. The state shut it down. That means they're going to continue to do it. And in New York, it's even worse. We prayed for New York today with Brother Roy. New York passed the bill allowing abortions up to birth for any reason. Any reason. Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo passed this. He's the mayor of New York City, but he's major for this. The state assembly, 38-28 vote and thunderous applause in the state Senate chamber. The bill codifies federal abortion guarantees under the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision and removes abortion from the state's criminal code. That means you can kill a baby up to 9 months and you will not face any criminal charges. Woe to those who good call evil good and good evil. Now in Europe, it's moving very quickly to a totalitarian state. It's moving very quickly to what Daniel foresaw of the European Union. And France and Germany takes major steps today to protect Europe, threatened by nationalism. That means that they're threatened by anybody in the Europe that thinks that their European state or the European countries are sovereign. And so they are forming a European army to protect Europe. By the way, they need to protect Europe because Russia's coming hard after them. And this is Russia threatening with 200 megaton nuclear device that they've been testing. And they're ready to threaten Europe and the world by saying that a new nuclear torpedo could create tsunami waves all through Europe. And the this Russian professor told the Russian newspaper that the torpedo could create waves 1,300, 1,600 feet high. Most countries have no defense for this. This is why Europe is shaking at its boots, because Russia is right at the doorstep. Remember, Russia is right, they back into Europe. By the way, into the LGBTI community, the LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and intersexual, LGBTI, it used to be LGBTQ, LGBTI. Well, they're moving very quickly from commitment to actions. The World Economic Forum is going to protect the rights of LGBTI by empowering companies to take action and encouraging companies to partner with LGBT to protect them and to include them in their core values and plans for preserving human rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All that jargon to say companies are going to be much more aggressive in protecting LGBTI from you and from me that criticize them, from anybody that criticizes them, from anybody that deals with them, from anybody that would post anything against them. The World Economic Forum saying, we're standing behind LGBTI, and if you come against us, you're dealing with us now. That's a World Economic Forum that deals with the economy. There's going to be an economic punishment coming against those who accuse or come against LGBTI or LGBTQ. I don't even know if I can keep up with this stuff. Now, the LGBT movement is under self-destruction. I don't want to go too much into it because it just boggles my mind, and I'll tell you the things that I read, and I'll be like, I was very angry. The LGBT does not include any tolerance or any diversity. You're either with them or you're the hater, you're the bigot, and we're going to sue you. The LCAU is attempting to sue any extremists, it says, who attempt to usurp the public library for their intolerant agenda. Why is the ACLU involved in public library and intolerant agenda? Because in Louisiana, concerned Christians, pastors, leaders said, we can't have drag queens do reading time with our kids. The ACLU stepped in. That's intolerant and hateful. And we're going to sue you if you come against drag queens having public reading in libraries for kids. Who do you think you are? Yet, an 11-year-old drag queen danced before admiring men at a gay bar. Nobody says anything. This little boy at the top, I think they called him the lactating drag or lactating kid or something like that. He's a boy. Pictured with other naked men and other who won the anybody heard of RuPaul? Is that transgender? Yeah, there's a contest. Who's going to be the next RuPaul? Well, this kid at the top there has won an award, and he got to be pictured with naked men. In any sane society, that would be pedophilia. Any sane society, that would be an outrage. But you know, if you raise up your voice, the ACLU says, you're an intolerant person. You need to let these kids be creative and open their minds. Who cares if they're dancing in front of other men at a gay bar for money? Who cares? This is blatant homophobia, they say. Any opposition to drag queen, any opposition to any of this will be intolerant. And this is where I believe even the LGBT community has come under the judgment of God. I don't think they have moved so far into it that now it's not just, you know, not just men with men, but now it's moved into kids. It's moved into, and then if you come against it, it's intolerant. Now this comes into view because the growth and the incredible growth of millennials obsessed, not just dabbling into. We used to say, oh, the young people 20 years ago, they dabble into witchcraft and stuff like that. They're obsessed with it. Witchcraft, astrology, the supernatural. Why are millennials so obsessed with it, says the book? Well, the number one answer they gave is because millennials want nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with Christianity. They want nothing to do with the religion of their fathers or grandfathers. There's nothing I want there, says one of the millennials. I've seen it all. I just want crystals, gemstones, astrology books, practical magic, and tarot cards. And these books called the Wild Unknown Tarot Deck and Guidebook are one of the most sold books in Amazon and Instagram. All these supernatural books, Death, Meaning, and the Power of the Invisible World. Over a third of American millennials are unaffiliated with any church, yet they are obsessed with astrology, Satanism on the rise. Is there any coincidence that you have drug abuse on the rise? You have sin on the rise, especially in the LGBT community, with open anything. I mean, anything goes. And if you criticize them, you might get yourself in trouble in a very real way, like the baker from Colorado. The rise of Antichrist in technology. We'll finish off with this. In modern technology, all they need is the right conditions, this article says, and a totalitarian world dictatorship to be put into effect. Meaning that as people are obsessed with technology and on their phones and on their laptops and on their everything, these things are right into society. And it says, man, that is exactly the right condition. For the right condition for the totalitarian world dictatorship to be put in. Meaning that all these things, Big Brother, you know, those terms, Big Brother and things like that, are just in right operation because you and I already have everything we need to that system to become in play. The Antichrist world leader will be the author of confusion, says the article. A counterfeiter who will say, these technologies, these things that you have are great. They're just perfect. We're just going to keep you safe. And all the promises, all the comforts of conveniences will actually be put into play in his own way. With this article saying that they have paved the way for a dictatorship to come in with no problem. And people are going to lay down, that people are going to lay down and do it for convenience because technology is so available and so easy to have and part of our lives. And who's going to give it up? Are you going to give up your smart TV? People are going to give up your smartphone? I mean, take them all. Take them all. However, are people really going to survive without them? Well, it's not just that, but it's things like the 5G network coming in. It's things like surveillance. It's things like safety. It's things like facial recognition technology. It's things like, forget the Constitution. You know, it's privacy rights. All that stuff is out the window. Body scanning technology coming. Facial recognition to go to football games, baseball games, banks, anything you can think of. It'll be the whole new world. In fact, how close are we achieving immortality? These things are part and parcel of the new technology because the new technology says, you know what? We can give you not just 80 years. We'll give you 90 years. We'll give you 100 years of life. Don't you want that? Don't you want the ultimate discovery, immortality? Don't you want to live that long? I really don't, honestly. You know, unless the Lord really give me that strength of life, I'm ready to go see him. But I know that until he calls, we're here to do his work and get people into the kingdom. But the new nanotechnology, right? Tiny self-replicating robots that can be injected into your bloodstream and they can prevent all kinds of problems, prevent all kinds of issues from happening, right? This microscopic robots, gene therapy. You can get your genes, not the ones you wear, but your genes manipulated just enough to have the right therapy, successful lifespan for human. 25 years it can add to your life, 3D printing organs, meaning that you have something wrong with your kidney and all that stuff, you can 3D print them and you can put them right in. Now, those things are not bad enough in of itself, right? It's the right thing, but here's the kicker. Cybernetic immortality. What is it? While the former technologies rely on expanding our physical bodies, and immortality will be achieved through those digital means, cybernetics immortality is a theory where humans will eventually upload complete copies of your conscious and minds into robots digital avatars, which will essentially sever our ties to our physical body, and you would just live with your mind in a whole new body in a digital world. This initiative is already striving at a world where humans will become one with the digital world. What did I just read? They just basically want to take your conscious, your mind, your thoughts, and put them in a robot or some kind of AI technology and just say, that's you, but you can live forever, just your mind. Your body will never grow old. And I believe in many real ways, this will be one of the incentives of the Antichrist to come in and give people what they want. The world, immortality, life, success. Immortality, the Bible says, comes from one place, God, and one source, the gospel, who has brought us immortality through the gospel. There's only one way to live forever. That's the gospel. The devil is going to come. The Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to mimic it. And says, you want immortality? I'll give it to you, but it's going to come at a cost. I'm going to be your law. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to dictate how you're going to live. And by the way, it's been known that each one of us has already an avatar in the world. What is an avatar? Anybody know what an avatar is? Not the movie. Yeah, like an icon, like a computer. You have an avatar, some could look like whatever. You know, if you have an avatar of something, right? It's already known that because of the surveillance system in the world, they already know who your avatar is. It's just a matter of putting it into action of some sort. Now, the DARPA system, which, by the way, we'll be talking about this over the next few weeks. The DARPA system, which is a government agency, proposes an AI that can monitor the whole world. They said, we can monitor the whole world. You guys remember when Trump went to Saudi Arabia and he had that crystal ball and the president of Egypt had his hand on it, and then the president of Saudi, or the king of Saudi Arabia, and then he had his hand on it. Anybody remember that? No? Okay. You got to see it. It's almost like out of a movie. I'm like, what do you think this is, like Lord of the Rings? Remember that guy that comes and he puts his hand on it? Anyone know the Lord of the Rings story here better than me? What's that guy's name? The weird-looking guy with the long hair? No, he was the wicked warlock. I'm sure people on YouTube are going, that's him. Anyway, that guy. And he's got that crystal ball, and he got his hand on it. No, the wicked one. The wicked one, yeah. I forgot his name. Anyway, he's got his hand in it, and he could see in that crystal ball everything that's happening. Well, believe it or not, that's the same concept that DARPA and other technology companies want to have, a monitoring system where everything's done through these sort of crystal ball-looking things, and you can actually just put your hand in it, and you could actually open yourself up to a whole new world. I'm like, truth is stranger than fiction. Why would they want to have something like that? Yet, it is real. DARPA already has a reputation to be mad scientist kind of lab, and they have this system, and it's called, of all things, Kairos. Kairos. Now, Kairos is a Greek word. It's in the Bible. It just means time. Times, Kairos. The time of the Gentiles, or the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the idea of Kairos, is time, right? Now, God doesn't have time in the sense of a watch. God's outside of time. But this time has to do with God's dealing with people. Now, this is what they're calling it, Kairos, knowledge-directed artificial intelligence. Its purpose is to make sure you're behaving, to make sure you're doing the right things. Kairos does its job correctly. However, it should be able to make sense out of the chaos. Basically, any transactions you do in the world, they'll have a hand on it. By the way, the IRS is buying into this. It's already part of that process. So you won't have to do your taxes anymore the way you've been doing it. You just participate into Kairos. They'll know anything that you do. Isn't that wonderful? I'm kidding aside. Somebody took me seriously on the internet one time and they said, you're promoting stuff. It's sarcastic, right? Any patterns essentially allowing to get a finger on the pulse, even to predict your next step. Even to predict your next step. Oh, come on. Really? Can they do that? Well, you ever bought something online and then the next week or looked at something online?
At it, yeah.
And the next, oh, you like jeans. Oh, you like shoes. Oh, you like detergent or dog food, whatever you like. Yeah. They're trying to predict it now. This is going to be enhanced. This is like, forget the Amazon thing. This is enhanced to the next level where they're going to predict exactly what's happening. By the way, as we finish, Pakistan is commanding Twitter to remove and sue people that come against Islam. Now, this is Pam Geller. Pam Geller is a conservative who runs her website and runs her organization that blows the whistle on Islam and things like that. And she was one of the first ones to blow the whistle on the fact that they had Sharia law already in operation in America in several towns, even in the fact they had honor killings in America, that they've had them for some time. Now, she went online, and she's part of Twitter and all the social media stuff, but Pakistan is demanding Twitter to shut down conservative voices and suing them. So they told Pam Geller, you need to lawyer up because you're being accused of breaking Sharia law. Mm. She lives in the United States. She is accused of breaking Sharia law. I would advise you and encourage you, be careful if you're on social media, what you actually do and post. Since Obama gave the internet over to China and the body of government, of other governments, U.S. citizens have been attacked, have been pointed at, of breaking international law. They have nothing to do with the Constitution. And yet, the final result is this. One more thing, and this is, again, to pray for Christians, and should be an encouragement for us. Iranian Christians, Indian Christians, African Christians, despite their attack, the attack on them, they are not exchanging even their own freedom. They're not exchanging even their own freedom for renouncing Christ. Many of them have been offered a way out. The beatings will stop. The persecution will stop. If you just renounce Jesus, Iranian Christians have refused to even be let free of jails and be let free from prison because they're not renouncing Christ. Same in India. Even putting up with their homes being ransacked and destroyed. African Christians, same way. Hordes of African Christians being baptized, being saved, coming to know the Lord in the hardships of the persecution. It should serve as an encouragement for Christians in America to say, we have no trouble, really. We really have no trouble. And yet, we fail to very much live in that boldness and that courage. Well, these Christians are giving us that encouragement. Don't give up. Whatever you're going through, it's not as bad as what they're going through. But at the same time, look at their example, that in the midst of it all, they're not renouncing Christ, and they're living for Christ in difficult days. We can live for Christ, even in our not-so-difficult days, and to prepare and to know that this could happen, and it may happen to us in the very near future. It's not just those who are persecuted, but also those who are willing to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. Even though it may not happen to you right away, you're still willing. And for the name of Christ, right, you bear the reproach of Jesus. And such an encouragement. On February 2nd, we're going to have a work party here, but there's also going to be a conference, Voice of the Martyr Conference in Costa Mesa. And although we don't encourage the conflict, we want to make sure that we have some support here and help for the for the work party, but we also let you know that there is, from 9 to 3, a conference in Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, will be held at this year. And we certainly don't prevent people from going there, but it will be very interesting to find out some of the things that they're going to be said on that day. So with that said, let's pray and ask the Lord for his courage and boldness. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word tonight. Blessed be your name, Lord. We bless you, Lord, for who you are, your great kindness toward us. We ask you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to lead and guide us today. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for our eyes being wide open to see the truth, to see what's going on, not to have our head in the sand. Lord, you told us to watch and pray. So, Lord, today we're watching, we're praying, we have our Bibles open, We know the enemy lurks like a roaring lion. We know Israel is under attack. We know the prophecies of Damascus could come to pass at any moment. We know the Ezekiel 38-39 scenario where Russia, Turkey, Iran, Syria, even northern Africa are part of the scenario. These things are coming before our eyes, Lord. We can't turn away from it, Lord, and pretend it's not there. We ask you, Lord, to give us the courage today and the boldness to live for you in our own lives, Lord, to trust you in our difficult moments and to take courage in the fact that our brethren, our Christians, brothers and sisters are suffering, and yet they're not denying your name. They're not denouncing you, Lord. And so, Lord, help us through all that to be filled and empowered with your Holy Spirit, to have the boldness of Jesus, of the apostles in our lives, and to know you, Lord, intimately, to know you in an intimate way, Lord God, to have the unity of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, based on a relationship with you, Lord. We ask you for your help, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Take any questions.